We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is Luka Doncic.
Can he get it away in time on the step back? He does! He hits! He hits! And the Mavericks have won the game! Luka Doncic with a 30-footer to win it at the horn!
And you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
All right, guys, how's it going? Welcome in to another episode of Mavs Step Back Live. It's been a while since we've done this. It's been about 2 weeks. I took a little bit of a break from doing podcast stuff. It's probably been over a year since I've done that, and it was just time to take a little bit of a rest to recuperate and, you know, get charged back up for the playoff run that we're about to experience with the Dallas Mavericks. But there has been a lot that has gone on in the last 2 weeks since I last came on here. It was March 9th was the last time, and it was before the Mavs ended up losing that blowout loss to the New York Knicks, but then they followed that up by three straight wins. They had the huge win in Boston, and then followed that by Spencer Dinwiddie hitting that huge buzzer-beating three-pointer to down the Brooklyn Nets. Spencer Dinwiddie has been absolutely incredible for this team. He's everything that the Mavs have needed in a secondary ball handler and distributor off the bench, especially since Jalen Brunson got put into the starting lineup. Like, he has just been – he's made it a night and day difference for the Mavs, and it's incredible. You know, as good as KP was when he was healthy, he just – you know, he couldn't stay healthy, and – he couldn't create his own shot and create for others like Spencer Dinwiddie can. And Spencer Dinwiddie is also one of the best players in the league at drawing fouls. He just has a knack for, and it's not like he's flopping or anything either. He just has a knack for getting other opposing players in position to foul him. And that really helps, you know, when shots aren't falling and you need to get to the rim, you need to get something easy. And he's able to get to the free throw line and get some easy points. It makes a huge difference. It's one of the reasons why the Mavs are one of the best teams in clutch situations this year. And they're currently on a two-game win streak. They beat Minnesota on Monday, 110-108. And then they beat the Houston Rockets on Wednesday, 110-91 without Luka. And Jalen Brunson led the way with 28 points, and Dinwiddie pitched in 26 of his own. Things are looking good for the Mavs right now. They're 45-28. They're currently tied with the Jazz for the fourth seed in the West. And since the Jazz own the tiebreaker right now, you know, they're still technically in that fourth spot. But the Mavs take on the Minnesota Timberwolves for a second time this week tonight. That's a big game. The Timberwolves are already, I believe, four games back of the Mavs in the loss column right now. So a win tonight would – I don't think it would, like, completely secure it because the Mavs' magic number, so to speak, is six. But they could cut that number down to four tonight if they beat the Timberwolves, because they'll add a win and then they'll put another loss on the Timberwolves. So, you know, with nine games left, and it'll be eight after tonight, if they can find a way to beat the Timberwolves – then, you know, they're pretty much it's pretty much a given that they're going to avoid the play-in tournament. So, and then, you know, the Jazz, they play the Charlotte Hornets tonight, who are fighting for a play-in spot in the East. And, you know, we just saw recently how much firepower they have, number one offense in the league, as the Mavs got blown out in Charlotte on the second night of a back-to-back recently. So, you know, if all things go well, again, like they did Wednesday for the Mavs, you know, if Charlotte can pull off the win against Utah and the Mavs can, you know, beat the Timberwolves for the second time this week, they'll have sole possession of the fourth seed going into Sunday's matchup with Utah at American Airlines Center. So things are looking good. The vibes are immaculate. You know, it was people were kind of down when the Mavs had that two-game skid to end that five-game road trip. But, I mean, y'all, it was a tough trip. You know, Jason Kidd even said before they started that road trip that they hoped to just, you know, their goal was to go 500 because it was going to be a hard trip. And they started out 3-0. You know, you had the heroics from Dinwiddie and back-to-back games. And then, you know, you played a tough 76ers team and had a chance to win that one, but, you know, just couldn't get enough shots to fall. And then you play the number one offense in the league on the second night of a back-to-back on the road. So it was a tough ending to it, but they've bounced back strong. And, you know, they've put themselves in a very favorable position going into the last 2 weeks of the regular season here. So I'm excited about it. I think they're playing their best basketball when rested right now, which is a good sign heading into the playoffs. I see somebody in the chat mention we need to get Maxi Kleba's issues fixed, and I 100% agree. I don't know exactly how the Mavs do that, aside from Jason Kidd saying he just needs to keep shooting through it. But the guy's a 36% three-point shooter, so you would think at some point he'll break out of this slump. And if he does, then, you know, it just opens up a whole new level the Mavs can get to, because some of these clutch games would not be clutch games if Maxi Kleba was just hitting like two or three more of his shots per game. So, all right, I'm going to start bringing people up. Guys, just remember, if you want to speak, send a speaker request. I'll get you up here. Keep it on mute until you're actually talking. That helps with the audio quality when I post this as regular pod later. And we'll just, you know, we'll just go through it. I don't have many people requesting to speak right now. So let's see, after I get Frank up here, if nobody else is there, we'll just close this out. It'll be a short pod today. All right. First guy, Frank, what's up, man?
What's up, man? How do I sound?
Sounds great. Sounds great. What you got for me?
Yeah, man, just thinking about Luka. He's looking a little heavy lately. I'm thinking that break was going to come almost no matter what. I won't say no matter who we played. Obviously, he would have played against Utah if it wasn't against Houston. But looking a little sluggish, looking a little slow again. You think there's anything to that injury? I'm just making conversation at this point. I don't think so per se, but you're a little more plugged in than I am.
I don't really think so. I mean, it would explain why he's had, you know, some rough shooting nights lately, but I think it's mostly fatigue than anything else. I don't think there's really anything to really worry about with Luka. But, you know, when he had that game like Monday where the Mavs, they still ended up beating the Timberwolves despite Luka scoring just 15 points and shooting 5 of 17 from 3. Like, that was – they kind of got away with one there. And I think they knew that. And so, given that they're playing the worst team in the league on Wednesday – they played the worst team in the league on Wednesday, it's like, okay, the chances are we're going to end up winning this game anyway. So, let's just go ahead and give Luka some rest, let Spencer Dinwiddie and Jalen Brunson do their thing.
Yeah, exactly. That gives them – that gives those two guys a little more chance to get some cohesion before the playoffs, because they are going to see, you know – They're gonna have a lot of playing time together. So, but do you agree though? Do you agree that he looks a little heavy right now? Is he looking a little? No, I don't know, man.
He's
played himself into shape, and then I don't know. I'm a skeptic by nature, so I'm not a rainbow, you know, see rainbows all the time Mavs fan. I'm very cynical.
I mean, if you're saying heavy as in like he's out of shape, then no, I don't
like cement in his shoes heavy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's heavy as in like his legs are heavy. Yes. I think he is tired. And that's why they're going to have to find ways to get him some extra rest, you know, before we get to the postseason. And that's one good thing about the play-in tournament, if you're not in it, because I think that's like a 3 or 4 day ordeal before the playoffs actually start. So he's going to get about a week of rest, at least a week of rest before the postseason starts. And it might be more than that, depending on how these seeding scenarios play out over the next few weeks. But I'm not worried about it, Frank. I think he'll get the rest he needs. And then I think once it comes playoff time, I mean, we know what switch Luka can flip as he goes from regular season to postseason play. And he has more help this year than he did the last two postseasons. So I'm not worried about it. I think this team is going to be ready to go. They've actually got a good defense now. They play the style of basketball that you have to be capable of playing to win a playoff series. And I don't know, I'm not guaranteeing that they're going to win a playoff series, but I just know I'm more confident in that now than I have been in previous years, and I'm pretty optimistic about it.
I am too, and I'll end on this. I think the team, like I agree with everything you said, the team looks like they're poised. You know, that the playoffs started tomorrow, we're ready. I don't think there's any more we need to see from the squad. Defense looks, I mean, that's been going on for months now, and you can see it in the effort. I mean, we schemed Ant and D'Angelo right out of the game the other day, just our scheme. Dwight Powell is, you know, the revolution there is nice. I said that the other night. But Maxey, and I know you're starting to see there's articles floating around about Maxey. It's becoming known, and everybody is privy to his struggles. My question is, do you think in these next coming games, if we're playing well and Maxey continues to be the elephant in the room, say, you know, he goes 0 for 6, right? He's 1 for 7. He's 0 for 6 from 3, and he gets a little alley-oop or something, and we lose to Minnesota or the Jazz tonight, and he, say, 5 of his 6 threes are wide open. Do you start – I know his defense is incredibly important. Like, he's maybe the one of – you know, him and Dorian, defensive anchors, he's incredibly important. Do you see them saying, hey, we cannot – he's too far gone mentally. He is a mental wreck. Do you see them saying, hey, no, even though he's as important as he is on defense, the offense is just too much, like he's killing us and we cannot go into the playoffs with a guy who is just he looks like he's scared. It's sad to say, but you can almost see it in his eyes, like deer in the headlights. It's that bad. It's really, to me, it's that bad. And I'm a cynic, but what do you?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I'm going to have to cut you off here because there's a lot of background noise going on there. I appreciate you joining me, but I don't think Maxey is and I wrote about it the other day. I just don't think they can rationalize, you know, benching him. They just can't do it. He does too much important stuff for the team, you know, aside from his scoring with his defense, with his – he's basically their only rim protection on the team. You know, he's improved – he's shown since the KP trade, in my opinion, you know, he's had a lot of really good rebounding games. So they need his rebounding. They need his shot blocking. They need his overall defense. And I think that, you know, that gives you more reason to play him than, you know, than you have reason for benching him because of his shooting. Because, I mean, look, there, I won't make any bones about it. His shooting is absolutely awful. it is terrible. Like, there's no way around that. But I just, you know, if you have Dwight Powell as your only big that you're playing, or maybe even Marquese Chris, who he doesn't look like he's like he still has to work his way back into game shape, in my opinion. But, you know, you still have to play Maxey because he's your best big, in my opinion. Dwight Powell has been amazing offensively, and, you know, he gives good effort on defense and everything, but he doesn't give you the shot blocking that Kleba does if he's fully healthy and ready to go. And look, we talked about Luka having tired legs. I mean, maybe Kleba has tired legs. Maybe he needs to rest a little bit down the stretch. That's the thing, though. It's like he does so many of the little important things for you. You know, maybe he needs a rest, and he's not able to get that because the Mavs are in this tight playoff standings race and trying to avoid the play-in. So I don't know. I mean, I hope he breaks out of it, but you know, like I said, he's a 36% career 3-point shooter, and he's shooting, let's see, 14% from three over his last 12 games. Like, that seems impossible. And like Jason Kidd said after one of the recent games, it's not like the shot looks bad either. I mean, it looks pretty, like his form and everything looks great. It's just not going down. I don't know what it is, but, you know, to his credit, he's still shooting. He's still going to get wide, wide open looks, especially since everybody has decided to double team Luka every time they get a chance. And we even saw it in that Houston game with Luka out. You know, they knew, okay, Spencer Dinwiddie's probably going to be the main guy handling the ball. We're going to double him, and especially after he had 19 points in the first half. And when they started doubling him in the second half, Jalen Brunson took over and scored 16 of his 28 in that period. And, you know, having guys around you, or having guys around Luka when that kind of stuff happens, is what's going to determine, you know, how they perform in the playoffs. If guys like that are hitting their shots when Luka gets doubled, that's the thing. You have to make these teams pay. You know, okay, you don't want Luka to kill you for four quarters. All right, well, everybody else is going to – it's going to kill you. Or if they miss shots, then these games are going to stay close. But, you know, the Mavs have a good enough defense to where they're always in games, and we'll just have to see how it goes. I don't know. I mean, I would like to see Marquese Chris get back in game shape and kind of take over that role, because he's shown the ability to hit down some shots from the perimeter earlier this season before he got injured. But, you know, I would also like to see Maxey Kleba snap out of his thing and contribute, you know, with these nine games left, because he's not a good postseason player. And I don't say that as like being disrespectful to Kleba. It's just a matter of the fact, like, his percentages drop across the board when you look at his postseason play compared to his regular season play. So maybe Kleba is just getting his cold streak out of the way early, and maybe he'll round into form, and at least, like, the Mavs don't even need him to be great. They just need him to be respectable. they just need him to not be the worst shooter in the league, which is basically what he is right now. So if they just get anything, if he can even get that 3-point percentage up to like around 30%, they'll be good to go. they just can't have him shooting 14% from three and 20% from the field. You know, that it's just awful. And, you know, it hasn't really affected their wins and losses much. They're still, they've still been winning a ton of games in 2022, but, at some point it's got to turn around, or, you know, it could cause them some issues in the playoffs. But, one more topic I wanted to talk about, and then I'm going to go ahead and get out of here because I don't have any other, I don't see any other speaker requests in the queue. But, you know, the MVP race is something that gets talked about almost daily at this point. And it's a regular season award. I get it. You know, Luka has even said that the only thing he cares about is winning a championship. And that's what you want to hear from your star player. I mean, that's where the mindset should be. But it just – it baffles me that every time we talk about MVP frontrunners – that Nikola Jokic, and he has been amazing this year, and the Nuggets have had so many injuries, and, you know, they're still right there in that sixth spot, and they could potentially move up depending on how the rest of the schedule turns out for them. But, you know, Nikola Jokic, he's been amazing. Joel Embiid, he has been amazing. And Luka got off to a slow start. But Luka has been so good, and he has elevated the Mavs so much in the second half of the season, or really more than the second half, you know, since New Year's Eve. I don't know the exact numbers, but I'm pretty sure it's like more than just half of the season. But he has been so good that the Mavs have the same record as the Philadelphia 76ers. They're 45-27. Now, the Sixers have a higher seed, but they're in the East. You know, the West is, you know, everybody said the East was going to be better than the West this year. Well, it hasn't turned out that way. The West is still the West is still the better conference, and it's proven that over the course of this season. But, you know, you have the Mavs, they basically have the same record as the Philadelphia 76ers, and they have a better record than the Denver Nuggets. Luka has a, I believe I saw it was a 7-2 record, head-to-head record against, you know, the top six or the top five above him in the MVP conversation with Jokic, Embiid, Ja Morant, not Giannis Antetokounmpo yet because I don't think he played in that first Bucks game, but he will probably play in this one in April before they end the season. So, and Steph Curry, you know, he went 3-1 against Steph Curry this year. So the head-to-head stuff, the crazy numbers he's put up, and how good the Mavs have been in the second part of the season. If the Mavs end up with the fourth seed or even potentially the third seed, since Steph Curry is going to be out for the most of the rest of this regular season and the Warriors could fall, if that happens, I just don't see how he can be left out, you know, of serious MVP consideration. And I mean, I get it. It's a full season award and that slow start hurt him. But if you look at the entire season as a whole, I mean, I don't see how you can count him out. And it wouldn't shock me if, you know, the voters for the award kind of felt the same way, especially if they're looking at the final standings and they see the Mavs up there, in the top half of the West and, you know, playing their best basketball heading into the playoffs. So I don't know how that'll turn out, but I think he's, at the very least, I think he's warranted consideration for a finalist spot, even if he doesn't win MVP. I think he's, you know, 100% going to make the first team All-NBA this year for the third straight year. I think Steph Curry's shooting slump in the second half of this season and paired with his injuries and all that stuff, I think that's going to knock him out of that. And, with the way the Chicago Bulls have slid down the Eastern Conference standings, they're 5-10 in their last 15 games. You know, DeMar DeRozan's probably going to slip out of that top five All NBA first team spot too. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. You know, Jason Kidd, he's been good this year. He's not going to win Coach of the Year, but you know, I think he should get some consideration there as well. But the biggest thing is getting out of the first round. I mean, it hasn't happened in over a decade. And you know, at this point, as good of a season as it's been, you know, if the Mavs don't get out of the first round, it's going to be viewed as a failure. And that might not be fair to Jason Kidd, you know, in his first year coaching, but it's fair to the rest of the team. You know, they have been here before. They've lost in disappointing fashion the last couple of years. The first time against the Clippers, it was mainly due to, you know, KP getting ejected in game one. Then he had the meniscus injury. And then last year, they were up 2-0 and had a chance to go up 3-0, had the huge lead in the first quarter of game three. And then, you know, Luka gets benched for the last half of that first quarter, and, you know, the rest is history. So, and I had to go and look at this, but I feel like that was the last time Luka ever ever got benched during a first quarter. I feel like he has played, you know, the entire first quarter every single time since then. And they've got more help this year. Spencer Dinwiddie, I think he is going to make a huge impact for the Mavs in the postseason this year. He's got the clutch gene. He's got the ability to get fouls, like I talked about earlier. And he's just going to take pressure off of both him and Jalen Brunson, who didn't have a great first postseason last year either. So I'm excited about it. I think they have a chance to kind of wrap up the play-in talk tonight. I think that they have a good chance of beating the Timberwolves. Karl Anthony Towns is questionable, even though I do think he will play. But, you know, if they win tonight, we can kind of start thinking, okay, who are they going to play? Is it going to be – are they going to be in the 3, 4, 5, or 6 spot? And we won't have to worry about the play-in stuff as much. So, guys, hope you have a great rest of your weekend. If all goes well, we're probably going to do this again on Sunday. And I'll try to, you know, schedule a handful of these per week to kind of make up for the 2-week hiatus I just took the last couple weeks. So I appreciate it. Y'all have a great rest of your day and weekend. And y'all be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms.